I'm excited about Brother Josh coming and teaching tonight. Let me say this. I've watched this young man be a soul winner from the time he wasn't even saved. Josh was soul conscious when he was 2 and 3 years old. It was amazing. We would go to eat somewhere. He'd look at the waitress and say, "Are you saved?" And she'd say, "No, are you going to save me?" "Nope, but my mom or dad will." You know, it's fish or cut bait at that point in time. I remember one time we were in Charleston coming down North Rhett and headed towards the church from Goose Creek, and literally a place called Goose Creek. He looked up and saw an airplane flying. He said, "Daddy, how many people fly in that airplane?" I said, "I don't know. Why?" He said, "How many of them are going to go to heaven?" You talk about convicting. When your children are soul conscious, it kind of pushes you a little bit. I've watched him through the years. He's won a lot of people to Christ personally. He's responsible for a lot of people getting saved. You'd be wise to listen to him. To many of you, he's much younger than you, but may I say this, sometimes people that are younger that are brought up in it have more experience than some of us have. And he's got a lot of experience with it. He kind of breathes it. So you listen to him. Brother Josh, come speak to us.
Got your Bibles, go to Luke chapter number 19. Have your Bibles ready tonight. Keep your fingers in Luke chapter 19. We're going to stray away from this passage throughout the service, but we're going to come back to it. And this is exactly where we're going to end as well. So Luke chapter number 19, read one verse as a springboard. We'll come back to the story preceding this at the very end of the lesson. Let me start off by making two statements. I'll pray, and then we'll get right into the message this evening. Before we were saved, we were called and we lived after the flesh.
Yes.
We had no way to serve God because we were not filled with the Holy Spirit. So our old nature was taking the preeminence in our life, and we lived after the flesh. But after we were saved, we were called to live after the Father and to please the Father. Before we were saved, we lived to please the flesh. But after we were saved, we were called to please the Father. And I use that thought to springboard into this statement. Jesus is our example, and we are to walk as he walked.
Yes, sir.
Who do we use as an example in our Christian life? Is it the pastor? Is it the church? Is it another Christian that we look up to? Although those people can be lighthouses and can be arrows and point us to live more like Christ, they are not our example. Jesus Christ is our example. In my life, especially where I'm at in the ministry, if people have a question, I don't tell them my opinion. I don't have the age, I don't have the gray hair, and I don't have the experience for them to respect that. So what do? I say, "Well, let me show you what Jesus did in this situation." And they are able to not see what I would do, although maybe what I would have told them is correct. They're looking at what Jesus would do. Maybe that's why in John chapter 8 and verse number 29, Jesus says, "For I do always those things that please him." Jesus said of his own ministry, "I'm not doing what I'm doing, even though I am God. I'm doing it to please the Father." So that way you as humans can live the life that I'm living. We can live the same exact life that Jesus Christ lived because he followed his Father, and we can follow him as we follow Christ.
That's right.
Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, we're going to use this as a springboard this evening. I want you to look at this. The title of this evening's lesson is this: the purpose of soul winning. How many of you, I know my hands are raised, why do I got to go soul winning? Why do I got to show up at 10 o'clock on Saturday to go soul winning? Well, let's look at it. I think you'll be a little bit surprised at the answer. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you now. The time is short. The truth is great. Lord, we desperately need not to hear from a man. Lord, I ask, Lord, that as I have many times already today, Lord, set myself aside. Lord, may your Holy Spirit speak through me, through the truth that is being presented. Speak to our hearts. Lord, may we be yielded as we listen. Would you do something that I cannot do? Speak to the heart, encourage, strengthen, and convict. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Let me make three statements to open. Statement number one: soul winning is not done door to door. Soul winning is how we live.
That's right.
Soul winning is not done door to door. Soul winning is how we live. Now, before some of you people, oh, that justifies why I don't have to show up at Saturday at 10 o'clock to go soul winning. I do it all the time. Here's how I know that many of you don't. Because if I do it all the time, I want to do it more. And I will be there for that designated meeting. Because I want to do it more with my life. The more I go, the more I am being used, the more I want to do. So as I live it, I will want to go door to door. But I am not restricted to door to door in my soul winning. I'm not walking through Walmart saying, oh, sorry, I can't help you because you're not at your house. I'm not restricted to go door to door. Soul winning is not done door to door. Soul winning is how we live. Luke chapter 19, we just read it, verse number 10. We find, if I could give Jesus a mission statement, I believe if I could ask him, what was your mission statement for while you were on earth? I think this would be it. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He lived his life as a soul winner. He didn't just wait till a certain time on a certain day to be a witness. Wherever there was a need, wherever there was somebody who was lost, he was there and he was willing at that time to live that. But he did have designated times where he said, all right, gather around. There were designated times where he grabbed his disciples, he grabbed the soul winners of that day and he said, come with me, we're going to go. I'm going to take you to a place and we're going to be a witness. There was time, we see that. There should be a time that we go two by two. Why is me... Even as an assistant pastor, I have to be careful that I don't just fall into this rut as well. How come I can't just say, well, I'm not going to come this day for soul winning because I've already done it 4 out of the 5 days this week? Because there needs to be an accountability.
Yes, sir.
Who is keeping you accountable as a soul winner?
That's good.
You tell me that you live your life as a soul winner and I believe you. But are you accountable to somebody? In Mark chapter 6, he called them and unto the 12, and he began to send them forth by two and two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits. We go out two by two. It keeps me accountable. I can take you to the book of Ecclesiastes. I do not have time. That we find that two people are to be together as they walk through life. If one falls, the other can help them. You got to be careful as soul winners, ladies and men, that you don't get morally drawn away while soul winning. You can find yourself in some pretty unsavory situations. And it is good to have somebody there to, number one, keep you accountable. Number two, to protect you and your testimony.
That's right.
While you're out going door to door. And you have less chances of being accused as a soul winner doing something you didn't do. You got somebody with you. So statement number one, I said soul winning is not done door to door, although that's necessary. Soul winning is how we live our lives. Are you living your life as a soul winner? Is it on the forefront of your mind as you live your life day to day? Statement number two. As soul winners, our number one goal is to show people their need of Christ. Take your Bible and look at Luke chapter number 14, just a few pages back. Luke chapter 14. As soul winners, our number one goal is to show people their need of Christ. That's my goal as a soul winner. That's my number one job. I'm not the Holy Spirit. My job's not to convict.
That's right.
I'm not the Holy Spirit. My job's not to preach to them about all their wrong living. My job as a soul winner is to show them their need of Christ. Luke chapter 14, verse 21. So that the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled, might be full. This is the story. This is of a master who has invited dignitaries. He has invited business people. He has invited upper echelons, friends, to come to a party. They did not come. They had an excuse. So he said, go out and bring in the people. Well, I've already done that. That your house still has room. He says, go out a little bit farther. Take the highways. Go out into the country. Compel them to come. Bring in. My number one goal as a soul winner is to compel them to come to Christ. My number one goal as a soul winner is to show them their need of a Savior. It is important that we keep that goal on the forefront of our mind. I'm going somewhere with this. Don't let me lose you. Statement number three. Statement number one, I said soul winning is not done door to door. Soul winning is how we live. Statement number two, as soul winners, our goal is to show people their need of Christ. Statement number three, along the way, we as soul winners are not to neglect our duties as Christians. This is the whole message right here, wrapped up in a nutshell. Along the way, we as soul winners are not to neglect our duty as Christians to teach the misguided and touch the hurting. That's Brother Barnes, Brother Juan, and Brother Scott, can I use you for just a minute? You make your way up here. I'll use you in just a second. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, I want you to look at something. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Brother Barnes, if you could be first. Face me. Brother Scott, you stand right behind him facing me. And Brother Juan, stand right behind Brother Scott facing me. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10. Along the way, as soul winners, we are not to neglect our duty as Christians to teach the misguided. Brother Barnes is saved right now. He's going to lose his salvation in just a minute. All right? This is Brother Barnes's body. This is Brother Barnes' soul.
My soul is fat.
So is your body.
This is Brother Barnes' spirit. Do we see the three pictures of the human body? This is Brother Barnes testing. Are we on? There we are. His body, his soul, his spirit. I'm a soul winner. Hi, my name is Joe Schmo. I'm from Grace Baptist Church. You're already saved? Okay, I'm done with you. There was no personal touch there. I found out he was already saved, so I just walk away. But in his life, he's just lost a mother. He's just lost a grandmother. He's going through financial heartache. As a soul winner, my goal is to get him saved. But what do I do when I come in contact with somebody that's already saved? Is my job done as a soul winner? This is his spirit that's already been reached. I'm a soul winner. I'm going after this part here. Maybe as a Christian, he's been saved, but he's away from God. And this week, the Lord has worked on his heart through some scenario in his life. And I am the messenger. I can see in his eyes that something's wrong. I see a burden. And as I talk to him, I give him a truth from God's word that helps him. And it restores his relationship, his communication back with God. He comes to church, he gets right with God, and as an individual Christian, he then begins to grow. Brother Juan, die. Can you sit down for me? He's unsaved now. This is the scenario we look for as soul winners, and this is the scenario we want. We want to come to the door and find somebody whose spirit is dead. There is no new man. He has not been saved. This is the scenario we like. It makes us feel good. Because we get to then, would you like to get saved? Yes, let's pray. He got saved. Yay. His spirit's alive now. And we walk away. And now we're done with him. And we get to go tell everybody that we had somebody saved. And we're excited about that. But we never see them again. And we never care for them as an individual human being. Now, we cared enough to tell them about Christ, yes. But do we care about them? As soul winners, we are not to neglect our duties as Christians. Yes, my number one goal as a soul winner is to do what? What did we say number two our goal was? To show people their need of Christ. Yes, that's my goal. But showing their need of Christ may go beyond salvation. They may need to see their need of Christ again and come from a backslidden state. That relationship might need to be restored. They might need somebody to show them a hope of heaven. He might have a lost family member who's in, as Brother Juan and I were out sowing a couple months ago, laying in a cot dying in a house, and we were able to say, hey, can we pray with you? Can we go talk to them? There were more needs that were able to be met as a soul winner because we did not neglect our job as a Christian to care about the individual.
Right.
You want to know why most soul winners get discouraged when they go soul winning? Brother Juan died. I talked to him and he doesn't want to listen. He doesn't want to listen again. He doesn't want to get, this is pointless, I'm done. He may not listen to me and get saved. But if every person that I go after and every single person that I talk to, I look for a need to meet, I don't walk away discouraged that they didn't get saved.
That's right.
I walk away encouraged that I was used to help possibly get them one step closer to getting saved.
Amen.
I go through a day and everybody I meet saved. You have days like that, everybody's saved. And boy, they're genuine. They've been saved. You go to a church area, a lot of people are saved. And you just, man, this is pointless. Why am I out here? Your purpose as a soul winner at that moment may not be to win them to Christ because they might already be saved, but it might be able to draw them in and bring them into the church family.
That's right.
And build their relationship as
yes.
a Christian with their Heavenly Father. You may be seated. Thank you. In Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What is that word save? Well, as Christians, we think of that word save, we think of an unsaved person getting saved. But the definition to the word save means to rescue from danger or possible harm, injury or loss. It literally means to salvage somebody.
That's right.
Christ's mission statement said, yes, I am here as a witness, but that is not my only job. Jesus didn't meet a leper along the way and said, are you saved? You are? Okay, I can't heal you. No. If he was already saved, he looked for the care of his personal being as he was in that state and took him to where they needed to be. You as a Christian find more purpose as a soul winner if you're looking beyond the salvation of a person.
That's right.
Because that's not up to us.
Right.
That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's a decision somebody else has to make.
Yes.
So how can I go soul winning for 3 months in a row and not see a single person saved and not get discouraged and still show up on Saturday morning excited about what I'm doing? Because I'm looking for the need.
Yes.
And I am reaching that need as a Christian. I might get to see that spirit revived as a soul winner. I may not. But I know I can be used to meet that need. And I know the heart that we have as a church. Every single one of you, I've seen it time and time again, you want to help people. So as a soul winner, you find your purpose revived when you not just look for the soul being or the spirit to be revived, but when you look to reach that soul, when you look
yes.
to touch that person and care for their need. That is your job as a soul winner. The salvation of the body pertains to that physical body. There might be somebody who needs a prayer. Don't be afraid while you're out soul winning. You're sick? Well, what's going on? Can we pray for you? Can I write your name down and give it to the pastor so we can pray for you? Don't be afraid to pray with somebody right there and it not
yes.
be a salvation prayer. Take time to care.
Yes.
There's a lot of hurting people out there. We're to be the
yes.
light of the world. We're to be the salt of the earth. If we're not caring for their needs, who will?
Right.
We need to take that time. What better time to take care of this than right now? I'm at their door. They're already saved. I see the need. Be used with the Holy Spirit to help heal them.
Yes.
To help maybe be an answer to prayer. Their spirit. Maybe there needs to be a spiritual awakening. Maybe they're not saved. Maybe there needs to be a restoration of communication as that prodigal son returned to the Father. Maybe you're going to be used to reach that somebody and show them their need to get back in church. But if I come across as a robot, if I come across as cold and indifferent, oh, you're already saved? Okay. Shucks, they were already saved. If I come, people pick up on that. They know who's got a personality and they see who cares. People know who care. Do you care as a soul winner enough that once you find out they're saved, or if they don't even want to talk about that, that you set that to the side for just a minute, reach them, and maybe you'll be able to come back around and be used to help lead them to Christ because
yes.
they found out that somebody cared.
Right.
Jesus would reach them to himself and then lead them to his Father because he cared about them. Jesus taught the multitudes, take a time to teach a nugget of truth that will help and guide. Maybe because I'm a pastor, I like to think that's not why. But I like to think that it's because I care about people that there's times I'm out soul winning and they're confused about something. Boy, I'm just scared about what's going on. Take your time. Go to 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians and say, hey, the Lord's coming. Are you ready? Hey, you've been saved. Great. You don't have to worry. And take time to give them a nugget of truth that will help them.
Yes, sir.
Jesus exposed the errors of man's religion. Now be very careful. This does not happen very often on an individual basis, but sometimes I'm talking to somebody, and boy, there is just, you can just tell there's a cloud over them, and they have been duped with some form of man's religion, and they've been taught something. Take 30 seconds to say, hey, let me show you this verse. Write this verse down. Let me show you what the Bible has to say about that. There's only one mediator between God and man. You don't have to go to somebody to confess your sins. I don't need to know what your sins are. Tonight, get alone with the Lord and tell him what's going on. Let him take care of business.
That's good.
Teach them how to get close to God. Take that 30 seconds and give them that nugget of truth where they've been misguided. Jesus has taken time to touch and to heal the hurting. He has taken time to give a truth that will encourage, that will uplift, and that will strengthen the weak. Statement number one, soul winning is not done door to door. Soul winning is how we live our lives. Statement number two, as soul winners, our number one goal, yes, is to show people their need of Christ. But number three, along the way as soul winners, we are not to neglect our duties as Christians to teach the misguided and to touch the hurting. Don't get so focused on that person getting saved that you're disappointed when they're saved. Help them. Meet the need as person to person who has been that has needed help. Let me end with three illustrations. What is my purpose as a soul winning? I've given you some statements. Now let's give you three Bible stories that will tell you your purpose as a soul winner. Statement number one, go to John chapter number 3. What is my purpose as a soul winner? My first and foremost purpose as a soul winner is to prevent mankind from suffering in a devil's hell. It does me no good to care about somebody's body, fill their belly with a hamburger, and not tell them about Christ.
That's right.
You can go too far to one side of both extremes, mm-hmm. where you don't care at all, or you care so much that you don't want to offend them and try to give them the gospel.
That's right.
Your number one goal as a soul winner, yes, is to make sure they don't die and go to a devil's hell. That is your job. In John chapter 3, you're there, I'm not. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter number 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He was a religious man, and he was indoctrinated falsely by man's religion. What is Jesus' response? Answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He did not try to correct the doctrinal philosophy.
That's right.
When I meet a Catholic, when I meet a Muslim, when I meet somebody from a false religion, I'm not trying to re-indoctrinate them. I don't have enough time. I avoid that religion and I get them to Jesus.
Yes.
It's exactly what he does. We go through the story. How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter in a second time in his mother's womb to be born? Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We go all the way through and we find out in verse number 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus' number one goal was not to re-doctrinate the falsely or wrongly doctrinated. He said, my number one goal is to prevent you from dying and going to hell. Let me give you the gospel. Let me show you how to be saved. But that's not where his ministry ended. Number two, our purpose as a soul winner is to help repair the broken relationships between God and man.
Yes, sir.
Look at John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. You're familiar with these stories. My purpose as a soul winner, first of all, primary. Make sure someone is not going to die and go to hell. Number two, if that has been taken care of, my second purpose is to help repair the broken relationship. There's a lot of people who are saved but that are lost. They're that lost sheep wandering in the wilderness. They're lost on their way and God has sent you there to maybe be a guiding light. In John chapter number 8, Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives and early in the morning he came again to the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in her adultery. When they had set her in the midst, she'd been humiliated. She's been publicly humiliated, probably as worse as a woman could be humiliated. They said unto him, Master, this woman has taken an adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that we should should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They said, tempting them that they might have to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote in the ground, as though he had heard them not. They're still talking, and he's still there writing. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And he again stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. It's just a little trickle. One left and then another. Then another. Then another. Being at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst is just him and that hurt individual. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He says, Look, they might have been right, but they can't prove it. Whether they were right or not, it's just you and I. What does Jesus do? Jesus says, If you were in a situation that looked wrong, don't go there. Don't be in that situation anymore. Improve your lifestyle. He was soul winning right there.
That's right.
He took time to protect somebody who was being attacked falsely. Whether it was wrong or right, whether she had done it in the past or not, regardless of her lifestyle, Jesus said, Let me help you. And he took time to repair a broken relationship between an individual and his father. My third purpose as a soul winner is to restore the backslidden. Luke chapter 19, where we started. We'll end here. Luke chapter number 19. Number one, my purpose as a soul winner is to prevent mankind from going to a devil's hell. Number two, to repair the broken relationship. And to number three, restore the backslidden. Luke chapter 19. Beginning in verse number 1, And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and beheld there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He could not for the press, because he was of little stature. Amen?
Amen.
And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Jesus was aware of who was around him. It's not normal for a dude to be in a tree. It's not where people spend their times. But Jesus was aware of what was going on around him. He wasn't so focused on the people. He was focused on individuals. He didn't get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life. He looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, He was gone to be guest with a man who was a sinner. How dare he spend time with a sinner? Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation. That's not talking about a spiritual salvation. Zacchaeus didn't buy his salvation.
That's right.
He didn't go do good works and get saved. This salvation was that salvation of the soul. That was that restoration of communication, because there was sin in the way blocking an individual from getting close, from advancing in their Christian life. There was sin there. Jesus exposed that sin through the Holy Spirit's help, and Zacchaeus was convicted. Zacchaeus becomes a better man after meeting Jesus. Are people better after meeting you when you're soul winning?
Well, that's good.
Are you such a testimony? Do you care so much about individuals that as you're soul winning, you look beyond the soul being saved? You're not upset that they're already saved, that they see your heart as a Christian, and that they see that you care. As a soul winner, you've got three purposes: to prevent mankind from suffering in a devil's hell. Number two, to repair the broken relationship between God and man. And number three, to restore the backslidden. We are to live our lives soul winning, not just going from door to door. But there ought to be times where you keep yourself accountable, you show up to a church meeting, and you go soul winning.
Amen.
As a soul winner, don't get discouraged if everybody's saved or no one's listening to you. Look for the need and meet the need. and you will find your satisfaction as a soul winner. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the truth. Lord, help us to look to you as our example as a soul winner. Lord, yes, to see people saved. Lord, yes, to be a testimony and a witness for you so that they don't go to hell. But may we not forget our role as Christians to care about people as we go. We love you and we thank you. Please bless the service to follow. We ask all these things in your name.